Morning. I can see at least my perception, could be wrong, but my perception is I was standing in the back watching everybody singing, you all are cold and tired. I mean, like, you haven't warmed up. This negative degrees is really hitting you, and maybe you're tired from Christmas. Is that what it is? Or is my perception just wrong? Is that what it is? No. Dave's back there saying, I got it. I'm on, right? Well, we're in the house of the Lord this morning, so we can smile, right? And I'm going to actually probably start doing that a little bit more now just to get you guys going, get your blood flowing. This is our, Super Bowl. We get to do it every week. We get to come to the house of the Lord and celebrate Him, so it's like it's our game day. So I know we got some sports fans in here, right? So this morning is game day, so I do have some certificates for baptism. I'm just going to kind of thumb through them because I've seen that they're not here. A lot of them are not here this morning. So I do have Brooklyn and Junior Church, I bet. Mandy is here. All right. So if I could have Chris Nyberg come up here, get his certificate of baptism. Mandy Deo. And then Adna Nellenbach. Is that how you say it?
Yes.
There she is. And I think that is, I have Brooklyn's, but I think she's in Jewish church, right? I'll give it to her later. All right. And then also I get to do the pleasure. I got the pleasure of announcing that we're going to have a new birth in the church. And it's Dan and Nadia Maurer are expecting their child. And Andy told me that it's going to be towards the end of June, beginning of July. Is that when you're expecting to deliver? Awesome. So pray for them, please. All you fathers, go ahead and give Dan all kinds of insight, wisdom. He's looking for it. And he's going to be very surprised to know that many of us are winging it even 20 years later, right? We are just winging it. I mean, there are days I lay my head down the pillow and say, thank you, Lord. You made me look way better than I absolutely can ever be. You did it good. So praise God. We're excited about that. We love to have new babies in the church. Amen? All right. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 36 through 38. And we're going to talk about the struggle is real with resolutions. That's the word. Resolutions. The struggle is real. I saw a baby onesie in the store the other day, and it said the snuggle is real. I thought that was pretty cute as well. So the struggle is real. Resolution, definition of a resolution, a firm decision to do or to not do something. And then just for you that like to information buffs, the religious origin of this goes even to the Babylonians. They promised their gods at the start of every year they would return borrowed objects and pay their debts. The Romans began each year by making promises to their god, Janus, of whom the month January is named. And then in medieval era, the knights took a peacock vow at the end of Christmas season of each year to reaffirm their commitment to chivalry. And we could use some chivalry, couldn't we? Yeah. So those are some of the things. And then some of the popular goals, then this is all internet, so you know it's all got to be true, everything I'm going to say here. Popular goals are to improve physical well-being, improve mental well-being, improve finances, improve career, improve education, and improve self. So as we're looking at that, what are some New Year's resolutions that you have decided this year, going into 2018, you're going to do? And this should be kind of like review for you, because I kind of ask that every single year. So what are some resolutions you have? And I know there's some of you that have none. You just like, forget it, I don't have any. Gary?
Stop eating like a pig.
Stop eating like a pig. I've been working on that for a long time, brother. Jeff, did you have your hand up? No? Anybody? Any other resolutions? Mark?
Draw closer to the Lord.
Draw closer to the Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else in the sharing mood this morning? Sean? Pray more. There you go. Pray more. Nancy?
Budgeting.
Budgeting. Stephanie?
Be more purposeful with
relationships. Be more purposeful. That is thought out and good. Say that again.
Be more purposeful with your relationships.
That's good stuff right there. Be more. She said be more purposeful. I'm going to mess it up. With her relationships. That's good stuff. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. What's that? Help more people. That's an awesome one. Well, I have a study here. It was in 2007, so it was a while ago, by Richard Wiseman from the University of Bristol involving 3,000 people that showed that 88% of them who set New Year's resolutions fail. 25%, or despite the fact that 52% of the study participants were confident of success at the beginning. So I started doing the math on that. That's 36% of them went into it knowing they were going to go ahead and not do it. I thought it was kind of funny. 36% of the 88% said, yeah, I don't even plan or I don't think I can do it anyways. Well, why would you make the resolution if you didn't think you're going to do it? The most common reason for participants failing their New Year's resolutions was setting themselves unrealistic goals, didn't keep track of progress, they forgot about it, and about 1 in 10 respondents claimed they made too many resolutions. So why do I believe that they fail? I think that's kind of the same thing. In my life, as I reflected, is maybe I make too many of them. Anybody just go on a goal, you just like, these are my resolutions, and you get like 20 of them. And then all of a sudden you're like, day two, you're like, wow, I broke all 20. You know, that's the thing with reading the Bible through in a year. I really like that idea. There's even plans you can do about reading your Bible through in a year. But what's happened to me before, except for when I am in seminary, because you have to read the Bible through so many times per class, what would happen to me is if I did that Bible plan, I would forget a day or two. Anybody else been there? And then all of a sudden I got like speed read and make up for 3 or 4 days. And then if I miss like 3 or 4 or 5 days, I just say, forget it, right? I just jump ahead. And so we got to be careful about how much our realistic goals are. And as I reflect on my own resolutions, I realize that 88% of mine, I've probably failed. And I think that they're probably for the same reasons. Just too many, got frustrated, didn't keep track. So as I was reading the Christmas story again and again for the last 2 months, I saw my 2018 New Year's motivation. I found it in the most unlikely place. I found it in a place that I've read many times. I've preached from it, and it's only 3 verses. I found some motivation in a woman that God has showed, and maybe it will be for you as well. Like many of you, I have some resolutions, physical, emotional, spiritual. Parts of me wonder if I'm going to fail or if I'm wasting time, and that's the wrong attitude, again, to go into it, right? But this year, in 2018, I have a better starting point, and I have a better place where I need to reevaluate my views of perspective. And also, when I look at this lady, it makes me realize what she was doing, I want to put into my life. And that's where we enter into Anna. God challenged me in her brief mention in the Bible. So we're looking at Luke chapter 2. And verse 36 is where we're going to start. When you're there, say, I'm there. All right, give me a big smile. There we go. All right, here we go. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and she lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God and with fasting and prayer night and day. And she came in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We pray that as we look at this, your scripture, that we would be challenged by your servant. We pray that the word of God would just challenge our hearts to be more like Christ. And as 2018 comes, Lord, I pray we would make some New Year's resolutions, some purposed, determined decisions to do more for you. And God, I don't know what that's going to be on the heart of each one of your people, but Lord, I pray that we would be open to it. God, I pray we wouldn't be afraid to be challenged, to be pushed outside of our comfort zones. And God, I pray that we would do so much more for you. God, I pray for your missionaries. Lord, I pray that you'd meet their needs. I pray for this church. I pray as we come to this time of year, we start focusing in on the business end of things. Lord, I pray we wouldn't forget about all the spiritual things you've done in just this year's time. God, I pray for all those ministry heads as they're starting to put together their reports for the annual meeting. God, I pray for the helpers that we need in junior church. What an awesome ministry that is, but we need workers. So God, I pray you would challenge the hearts of your people. God, we love you and thank you as we come out of this Christmas season and as we look as a new year, Lord, that we can it can challenge us to be a little bit deeper in our walk with you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. So, Anna was a prophetess. She spoke on behalf of God. She was Jewish of the tribe of Asher. She was old according to God's word. And when God's word says you are great age, you old, right? When God's word says great age, you is old. Now, it says she's also been married and that her husband died after 7 years of being married. And it's incredible on how we will debate things. You know what I'm saying? You'll get this when I say this. There's a huge debate on this. I didn't realize it until I really started digging into it just these last couple of weeks, that how old she really was. Well, the King James gives you the idea that she was 84 years old. Well, there's some commentaries out there that read that she was actually, they believe she was 84 years a widow. So she would actually be closer to about 105 years old because she was, you know, they were guessing about 14 when she got married, lived 7 years with her husband, and then lived 84 years without him. I say all that to say this. I don't care. Whether you're 84 or whether you're 105, the Bible says you are great in age, you are old, right? So if you want to believe she's 105 or if you want to believe she's 84, I'm fine with it, and it doesn't make any difference. It just made me chuckle because some of the things we will debate about, the things, it's just you didn't pay for that. But anyways, so whatever her age may be, we'll just know that she's of great age. What lessons did I learn from this part of Scripture? And we're going to get into that. But what happens is I started thinking about these things. When I started thinking about lessons, it causes me to ask some questions. Where do I want to be at the end of 2018 if we make it? Okay, I put that in there because I know there's the doom and gloomers that we ain't making it to 2018. We are dying in something in 2018. So putting that aside, if we make it through 2018, where do I want to be spiritually? Where do I want to be? Secondly, what do I want to have accomplished? And what do I want to say as a success? Or what would I consider as a success? Now, I don't know about you, but if I got down to 225 pounds this year, that would be a success to me. If I inherited $1 million, that would be a success to me. And I'd be okay with that, and I would promise you I would donate. If I finished my degree this year, that would be a success. If I organized my whole house, that would be a success. If I could get control over my anxieties and fears, I would consider those successful. But then as I was reading this, God's word and his servant Anna, it changed my point of perspective. I've been looking at resolutions and how God wants to change me in the wrong way. How can Cecil fill in the blank of resolutions? It's not that God is against me losing weight or finishing my degree. God's desire is to have full control of my heart and life. It's not that God's against any kind of resolutions that we may come up against. Matter of fact, it would be good for us to lose weight. Amen? It would be great for us to come into some more financial help so maybe we can help somebody else. But his ultimate thing for us is that we have, our heart is for him and he is in complete control and we are obedient to him. And so as I was looking at this, I had that aha moment that in 2018 I need. And this is what it was. My New Year's resolution. So this whole message is me, and I want you to fit yourself in it, okay? I try to do that so I'm not so offensive to you, but I still want to get God's truths out here. So my New Year's resolution is this. Number one, I want to surrender my identity. What do I mean about that? Or what is that? Whose am I? I believe if I could tattoo on my brain at the start of 2018 who I am or whose I am, things would be a lot better. It doesn't mean that the struggle will be any less, but if it will help me to remember that I am teamed up with God and he's in control of everything and he has it all figured out. Look at verse 37 of where we're at in Luke 2. And she was a widow of about 84 years. I want to pause right there. We'll continue that verse in a little bit. This lady, Anna, had a huge tragedy on her hands. She was a widow, 7 years into her marriage. And I had to calm myself because I almost put, don't chuckle, ladies, or don't be excited for her. Some ladies would be like, praise the Lord, right? But anyways, here she was. She was a widow, 7 years after her marriage. And then however long she lived or what age she was, she got married. Do you know what the Bible times, it was a lot different to be a widow than what it is today. Today, the widows are pretty well taken care of. Even in this country, we got Social Security, we got other things, we got the church to help. But at this point in time, if you go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, and if we have time, we'll go there, you'll find how the widows, what it was laid out, how to take care of them in the church time. And if you were younger, you were pushed to get remarried. You were pushed to get married and to have kids and to keep on. And Timothy talks about why. I mean, there were some that were good for God and they would stay close to God. But he talked about because the younger ladies could get caught up in gossip and tattletaling and getting all kinds of trouble. So it was good for them to be married. So here she is. And as we know, as the scripture says, she didn't get remarried. This is a tough time. I'm sure there was many, 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 many struggles. And I'm sure she suffered a lot of loss, but she didn't get lost. She knew who her identity was as a servant of God. She may have lost her way, but the tragedy that happened in her life didn't cause her to run away from God. Why am I spending some time on there? There's a lot of times as Christians, when things don't go the way we think they should go, we run from God. Matter of fact, I think it's pretty surprisingly nowadays that when things happen to people, if they stay close to God, it's more surprising today, or not surprising, it's more of the norm today than it is the others. Human nature inside of us, as soon as things don't go our way, we blame who? God. And then if something happens to somebody, who do we blame? We blame God or we blame them. Well, what are they doing in their life to have that happen, right? But our identity is in Christ, and so her identity was in God. She knew as a servant of God that when this tragedy came in her life, she was going to stick close. Now pick up again in verse 37. It says, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. This woman was in the church every time, or the tabernacle, every time the door was open. She was doing what she had to do. She was serving God. So I can only speak for myself with saying, whose are you? My identity is not found in anything temporal. As a born-again, adopted into the faith, follower of Jesus Christ, my complete identity is found in him. And here's some scriptures for you. Galatians 3, 27 through 28. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are what? All one in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you collectively are Christ's body, and individually you are members of it, each with his own special purpose and function. Why did I really like the Amplified? Because I like this part right here. Each with his own special purpose and function. Every one of you have your own special purpose and function that God has put only in you. And you're to use it for his honor and glory. And so the quicker you get an understanding that your identity is Christ and that you are his and he's given you a special purpose and function, the lot easier it's going to be to face 2018. Continuing on, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a particular people, that we should show forth the praises of him whom called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. The first thing I need to get rid of is the identity crisis that I go through every day. If I am his, I need to stop taking back the title deed that he owns. I do this daily. By living for Cecil. I take it back from him. I have more critical decision or spiritual decisions based on how I felt. Then it's a no wonder why things don't go the way they do. Anybody been there? You didn't even spend any time in the Word, or you spent the time because you felt that you should spend the time. But then you go about your day making decisions based on how you feel, and then at the end of the day, you wonder why it all blows up in your face. Anybody else, or am I alone? So we have to get past this whole thing. I am his. I am complete in him. I already have everything that I need inside of me by the power of the Holy Spirit to do his will in 2018. Now I said this is my New Year's resolution, but can I say this? You do as well if you're a believer. If you are a born-again believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, and he's bought and paid for your soul, at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit indwelled inside of you, and gave you the spiritual gifts that you need to function and do the special stuff that he has for you to do in 2018. Are you with me? You have that. Amen? I'll ask for it. Number two, I need to set my priorities. Look again in verse 37. It says, departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings, prayer, night and day. If I am his, I think I should make him my number one priority, don't you? Don't you want to know, let's be honest, and I don't want anybody, this is your time to take that jab at me. Don't you want your pastor or the pastor of this church, his number one priority be to sold out to God? Amen. I'm setting you up. I think it's safe to say that everyone that is born again needs God to be a priority. I think it's also safe to say that if we're under his ownership, he should have top priority of us, don't you? So what would God want my priorities to be in 2018? I can tell you he wants me to love him with all my heart and all my mind. God wants me to have a sweeter fellowship with him. God desires to be number one, not number two. And why wouldn't he want us to be number one? Why wouldn't he want me to make him number one? He gave me his very best. He gave me Jesus Christ. He gave me his son. He looked down from heaven and said, that man needs to be saved. And the only way he's going to get back in fellowship and saved is through the death of my son. My very best. So I think if I'm his top priority, then he should be my top priority. Are you with me? This is where it's getting a little bit hot, right? He needs to be our top priority, not everything else. And then, and I kind of played on this. Some of you guys that grew up in the late 80s will get what I'm saying. I call it trickle-down spirituality. Remember the trickle-down economics? This is spiritual trickle-down spirituality. Because the more I draw into God and the more I want to be like his son, the more God's going to reveal inside of me what has to be removed from me to be more like his son. And then the more I want to be like his son and the more he pulls out of me, the more I mirror his son and become his son, and the better things happen. It's a downward flow. So what happens? I end up being a better father, a better husband, a better friend, a better pastor, a better friend to my enemy, a better friend to my unsaved yet friends, because of all that trickling down of a New Year's resolution of me getting my spiritual priorities where they should be. This decision doesn't mean that God doesn't desire me to be healthier, eat healthy, exercise, make better financial decisions. But his most pressing desire for me is as much as possible on earth is to make me to look like the picture of his son. To bring him honor, to draw people to him, and to cause others to glorify his name. Do you know that's your purpose? To glorify his name. So that when somebody looks at you and says, man, Jack, you are awesome. I can't believe how spectacular, smart, and intelligent, and how kind, and how courteous, and those are all great things. Those are true, aren't they? And what is Jack going to say? Well, I might say, what did you say? Where'd you get it from, Jack? Praise God. There you go. I give it to you. He's going to say, praise God. Whenever somebody finds something about you that is good, praise God, because that's all God doing work inside of you. Because ultimately, maybe not Jack, but if you knew my heart, you wouldn't give me any compliments. You would. Because remember, I'm the one guy that y'all looked at and shirked and looked at like I was crazy when I said, have you ever had people you wanted to hang over a vat of acid? I think Gretchen was the only one with me on that, and she's not here to say that, but y'all looked at me like I was crazy. But so if there's anything good inside of me, it's only because of Jesus Christ. But that's my purpose on earth, because I will never be glorified because I have sin nature. My purpose is to emulate, to look at Christ, to be the best example according to his word of what he is, let God work things out in my life, so that when somebody sees me and they say, man, God has done some wonders because you are one heck of a scoundrel, and I can't believe what God's done, and you say, that's right, praise him. Now praise me. The problem is with us Christians, we want the praise. Because it's something that builds upside our flesh, that pride inside of us. That one thing that the devil likes to play with because he deals with it too. And we want to hear how awesome you are, right? You're so great. It makes us feel good. We almost walk and float, right, when people tell us that? You know I'm right. Come on. So in 2018, my number one resolution is to make God my priority in my life. You say, well, wait, so here we go. Application. Surrendering and setting priorities must be deliberate. See, we could sit back and we could say all day long, I want to make $1 million or I want to save up money. But unless we're deliberate about a decision, what's going to happen? Are you awake this morning? I don't think it was that hard of a question. If we sit back and say we want to save money, but we don't do anything about it or we don't put together a plan about it, what's going to happen?
Nothing.
So we need to be deliberate about this. So when I'm coming with this, I need to be deliberate. The scripture says Anna was in the temple night and day. I need to be deliberate about my decisions for God as priority. Johnny Hunt is a Southern Baptist preacher. I went to a couple of his conferences. He was on Adrian Rogers' staff. And you know, anybody know who Adrian Rogers was? I think he was probably one of the best preachers to ever walk this earth, at least in my lifetime. I still listen to him on the radio. He's excellent. He would meet with all of his leaders, and he would challenge them every year that they need to make God a priority in their life. And they'd say, "But Pastor, you don't understand. It's so hard to do the ministry and still have that personal connection between me and God because I'm so busy doing," and they'd list it all out. And Adrian Rogers would say this, "You know what you need to do? You need to get up earlier." They'd say, "Well, you know, Pastor Rogers, you don't understand. I already get up at 6. He'd say, "Get up at 5. "Well, I already get up at 5. "Get up at 4. "Well, I already get up at 4. "Get up at 3. He said, "You need to give the first hour of your day to the Lord. It needs to be through studying his word, prayer, not for anybody else, but for your soul, because you are no good to minister to anybody else unless God has ministered to you first." And he'd say, "Do you think you have some special anointing that nobody else in the word of God had but Jesus?" They'd say, "No." He'd say, "Then you need to get up earlier." So if I want to make a priority, and my priority is to make God my priority, then I must be deliberate. And maybe, so what did I take at this? Maybe it's reading God's word. People say all the time, "I don't have time." Get up earlier. Stay up later. I need to be deliberate in my ways. Well, this year in 2018, I'm going to give more to God. Anybody have that? Man, there's no hands except over there. Come on now. You're all supposed to say at this point, this time you're like, "Yeah! In 2018, I'm going to be a more faithful giver to God." Raise your hand. Well, you got to be deliberate about it, right? You can't just wish for it. You can't just say it's going to happen. You got to make a plan for it. And you say, "God, this is what I'm going to do. My paycheck comes, and the Bible says I need to give for my first fruits to God. Not what's left over, but first." That was hard for me to get my head wrapped around as well. But I'm going to give first. And pray to God and say, "What do you want me to give? You want me to give 10%, 20%, 5%? What do you want me to give, God? I'm going to be faithful every month to what you tell me to give." Because I've said this before. I've said this before, and I believe with all my heart. Some of the financial issues that many of us go through will never get taken care of until we faithfully give to God. They won't. We will always have the issues we have until we faithfully give to God. And I don't know what that amount is. I'm not telling you. But you have to give to God because he's given it to you first, and he asks for some back. And it shows that you love him over your money. You trust him more than you trust your money. Are you with me? Because we got quiet. If I'm gonna stir up people and get them encouraged, then I should probably be out there encouraging people, right? So if I make a deliberate decision about it, I should probably get involved in meeting and talking with people. I need more deliberate about these things. Secondly, I need dedication and devotion to my resolutions will benefit everyone. And I talked about that earlier. If I'm dedicated to every word of God and not doing it cafeteria style, everyone will benefit. What's cafeteria style? You just pick and choose what you want to take. You ever done that as a Christian? Are you awake this morning? Yeah, we've all done that. Nobody's going to look at you and say, and if they do, then God will judge them. Nobody's going to look at you and say, "Shame on you. You've taken cafeteria style Christianity." We all have, if we're honest. We all pick and choose what we want to do, what comes easy to us. But if I'm faithful with what God says, everyone in my life will benefit. My wife will benefit. My children will benefit. You will benefit. Do you not, as a church, want to benefit from me? Then I need to make God my priority, and I need to make sure it's dedication and devotion to it, because that will benefit all of you. Thirdly, serving others over self will remind me of whose I am. this means I need to serve people that I don't really want to.
That's tough.
Y'all are laughing, but it's tough. Think of that person right now the Holy Spirit's going to put right in your mind that you really don't want to serve. And you need to serve. Instead of yourself. This is me. I need to serve. This includes family. I remember my pastor telling me this as I went into the ministry. He said, listen to me, the greatest, and I think it's repeated through all the preachers, the greatest tragedy could be for you to win souls for Christ and lose your family. Make sure that you are ministering and loving your family. He said, I don't care. I don't care if half the church is telling you, man, you seem to spend a lot of time with your family. You say, praise God, is the church growing? Are people being spiritually fed? Absolutely. Well, God, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But then again, there's some of us that we're giving too much to our family and nothing to God. Are you with me? There's some that will, God, he takes the back shelf and our family, he takes the front. We'll do everything we want for family. We're helicopter parents. We're traking our kids all over the place. We're taking them to Boy Scouts, to soccer, to this, to that, to this. And if we have that time off, we'll go worship God. That's not a priority. So we need to be dedicated and remind ourselves, who am I? Who am I? Next, we need to pray. Seeking and fasting will prepare me for victories and troubles. Anna served God with fasting and prayers night and day. I wonder how much better I would handle God's challenges had I prayed them up before. Right now, we need to be praying for what we're going to face in 2018. Are you with me? We say, well, put it in church context. We have an annual meeting coming up. We got decisions to make. We should be praying about it right now. Probably should have been praying about it already. But from today forward, we need to be praying about what God's decision would be January 14th, when things are revealed, when things are talked about what we're going to do. We shouldn't just come into it and say, well, I need more time. You can say, I need more time. Well, I need to pray about that. God should already be purposing your heart on what we should be doing. Are you with me? With our family, same thing. Decisions that need to be made with our family, we need to pray. We need to be fasting. I know a lot of pastors that they spend the first 30 days of the month fasting. If they physically can do it, they will fast the first 30 days of the month. They will fast for their churches. Some of the churches will do it. They will fast food. They will not fast food like McDonald's. They will fast their food. They will not eat. Now, I know this guy right here. If I fasted for 30 days, I would probably lose some weight. Amen? Some pastors fast other things that take up a lot of their time, whether it's internet or, you know, TV or whatever it is, to get themselves into lockstep with where God would have them go in 2018. We need to be praying and seeking and fasting because that will prepare me for the victories and troubles. A God-prioritized heart will be thankful. Look at verse 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. A God-prioritized heart will be thankful. Anna knew exactly who Jesus was. She was thankful for his arrival. Instead of getting overwhelmed, maybe I need to be thankful for the opportunities to be part of his plan. Suppose right where I am is exactly where God wants me, and I need to be thankful. Did you hear me? Maybe right where I am in the things in my life that I wish weren't there, and I could almost say probably aren't God's will there, are exactly what he has planned for me in my life. Could the same be said about you? Maybe you're dealing with some serious struggles, health, financial, family, and you just think, this can't be of God. This has got to be something of evil, demonic, you know what I'm saying. It's got to be that issue. This can't be of God, and maybe it is. Maybe God's allowed it to come in. Or maybe God's even sent it to you for a purpose. Can you still be thankful? We're to be thankful because of the salvation he's given us. This is only temporal. But we have salvation, which is eternal. So a God-prioritized heart will be thankful. To talk to others about forgiveness, I must forgive myself. Look at that part of verse 38. It says, and spake unto him all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. One of the most precious gifts we can give that we make the most impact with is forgiveness. Did you hear me? That one of the most precious gifts that we can earthly, humanly give to another human being is forgiveness. But if we don't know how to forgive ourselves, there's no way we can forgive somebody else. No way. God's forgiven us, right? You pray to him and say, God, forgive me for this area. He's forgiven. Scripture says as far as the east is the west. He puts it to the bottom of the ocean. Forgets it. But yet we still bring it up. We got to forget. So we got to forget what we've made resolutions in 2017. Maybe we said in 2017, we were going to read our Bible through, or we were going to do this or that or this or that. Don't let that baggage drag you into 2018. Forgive yourself. Maybe you've misstepped. Maybe you've committed all these different sins, and God's bringing them up before your head. Confess them right now and get rid of them. Ask for forgiveness. Forgive somebody else. There's somebody in this church or in your family you need to forgive. Forgive them. Listen, I had a cousin dead to rights. Dead to rights on something. And I was mad. Man, anybody who's mad as a hornet? And I was, you know, and he goes to church, and I went and threw that out there. So you know what? I'm going to take it to your pastor and see what he thinks about it, because it was that wrong. It was bad. Bad news. Man, I felt justified, got off the phone. He kept trying to message me. I was going to ignore him because I'm righteously right. Now, guys, I'm saying this as facetious. Don't take it seriously that I'm setting myself up. Then he starts reaching out to me saying, I really need to seek your forgiveness. And left me a long message saying, I want to talk to you. I am so sorry for what I did. You were 100%. I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to stay mad at him because of what he did. Anybody else been there? I had to call him up and say, you know what? I need to ask for your forgiveness. I said, because I was proud. I was pompous. I threw up the whole church thing. Like, I was going to go to your pastor. Like, I'm some big wig. I'm going to call your pastor and I'm going to trump anything. What is that? You know where that comes from? The pit of hell. That anger. And I forgave him. And he said, you're one of the only family members I have that we can talk. And that we're Christians. And I was ready to throw it away over something. We got to forgive people. I don't care what somebody's done to you. You need to forgive. You need to forgive them just so you can get past it. And it doesn't have ownership over you anymore. You have to. You say, preacher, you don't understand. I understand. I've had some things done to me, too, that we don't want to talk about in public. But you got to forgive them. You got to forgive them and get past it. Sharing the gospel will happen from a grateful sinner. After she saw the Messiah, Anna, with her own eyes, she went and told others. Each of us have a different way of sharing the gospel. Some share tracts. Some do walking sticks. Some bring people to church. I believe that if someone's grateful, they will be naturally share what has happened in their lives, and they'll be full of passion. In 2018, will you join me about being more grateful for what God has done for you with others? And then my last point is this. No matter what 2018 brings, I will not quit. I will not let anything that this life or this world throws at me give me an excuse to quit on God, my friends, and my family. Anna didn't. She devoted her whole life to him. And she got to see Jesus, the Savior, our Savior, face to face. She got to be right in the temple when Simeon was standing there proclaiming who Jesus was. According to the scripture, she was the next person to see the Messiah. And it didn't happen that way out of just happenstance, because if you go back to Deuteronomy, it takes 2 to 3 witnesses to proclaim something is true. Jesus had 2 witnesses in the matter of minutes said who he was in the temple. We need to stop quitting. We need to make the determination that, yes, we will fail and we will fall, but we will get back up and keep going. This is a church family, and we need to not walk out on it. Amen? Amen. And we need not quit on God. We need to stay strong. We need to look to forgive each other, and we don't quit on our families. I don't know where you're at with your marriage, but I want to say this right now. We need some marriages that stop quitting and get going. Did you hear me? Do you know we're up to 51, 52% of Christian marriages in good Bible-believing churches failing in divorce? I don't know where you're at today, but I want to say this. Will you pull it together? Will you not quit? We say, you know what? We'll do what we got to do to make this right. And this will be a marriage that we can only explain will honor God because he saved it. We need some families that will fight for their children. We need some children that will fight for their parents and stop quitting. So this is the charge, and this is the closing. What will your New Year's resolution be? Do you know God the Father? Because you can only have one true relationship with God, and that's by knowing his Son. And what an awesome thing it would be to finish 2017, going into 2018, becoming born again and trusting in God. That would be awesome. And what if I told you, no matter how much you've messed up, God wants you? What if I told you that God still wants to make a miracle out of your messes that you've made in 2017? The things that you've messed up royally that you have to take credit for, that God can take those and make them a miracle in 2018, 2019. God wants to take our worst and make the best miracles out of it. He wants us to draw people to his Son. He wants us to lay our failures, our baggage, our bitterness, our regret, our disappointments, our deepest, darkest secrets. He wants us to lay them at the feet of Christ. It will take you to be deliberate about it, because this is what happens. We'll come to an altar or we'll sit in a chair, and God will have his way in our heart, and we'll say, God, help us with that, and then we'd like grab a hold of the bag and walk away with it. God, help me with this porn addiction I have. I am addicted to porn. I can't get past it. I need your strength. And then we walk away with it, and 2 days later, we're right back in it. It's going to take a deliberate attempt to say, God, I need you to do this for me. I am going to be faithful and obedient to you. So, and then you put the blocks in place to keep you from going into whatever it is God's laid upon your heart. If it's porn, you need to get rid of all your stuff that's technology, get rid of it. If you need an accountability partner, get it. But it's going to take a deliberate attempt or a deliberate decision to make it happen. We need to make a stake in the ground. Today is our Independence Day. I'm done feeling unworthy. How about you? You know why I'm worthy? Because God says I'm worthy. Do you know why God loves you? Because God says he loves you. Do you know why you're forgiven? Because God says you're forgiven. It doesn't matter what the person next to you says. It doesn't matter what the pit of hell says. It doesn't matter what any politician says. You are what you are because Jesus Christ said so and God authored it. And we need to stop believing the lies that we're telling ourselves and that we're bringing upon ourselves because of the things we're bringing in our lives. And we need to make God our number one priority. You say, well, preacher, I'm not there yet. I can't make him my number one. Will you make him number two? How about number three? I mean, can you put him in the top five? And I promise you, your life and the lives of those around you will be more God-honoring. So this morning, I'm going to challenge the whole church. Will you make God your number one priority this year in 2018? Now, I want to say this very quickly, but also so you understand. Don't make that decision based on, I got to do it now. I'm going to storm the castle, because God's going to hold you to it. If the Holy Spirit's prompting you to do it, I want you to understand fully, God's going to hold you to that. You say, well, preacher, I have no idea why things are going cattywampus in my life, and it's March. Well, maybe it's based on a promise you made to God December 31st in 2017 that you failed to keep, and you're not being obedient, and so God's trying to get you back on that track. And you say, you know what? In 2018, I'll make God my number one priority. I'm going to surrender my identity to him because I've already been bought, and I'm going to stop playing with the identity crisis. If I can have everybody stand. Everybody stand. We're almost done. And we're all going to bow our heads, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time so you can fall asleep on me. But this morning, I want to ask you, will you make a New Year's resolution to make God your number one priority in 2018. And it may be things totally different than anything I've mentioned, but you're going to make him your number one priority and let him do what he's going to do in your life. Have you trusted in him as Lord and Savior? Do you even know him? If you don't, what is it going to take? You're doing it all on your own. And the helper's right there wanting to help you. Would you surrender today? Would you say, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm surrendering it all right now. I want to kick off 2018 as a child of God. I have not surrendered, but today I'm surrendering my heart to him. If that's your desire, would you be willing to raise your hand with everybody else's heads bowed and say, that's me. Is there anyone? Christians, we have a moment of invitation. Here's what you can do. If you're willing to make God your number one priority, would you grab your family and come to the front of the church? Husbands, your wives might not be on board. Your children might not be on board. But you're the head of the house, so you need to do it lovingly. But if you need to pull them here, do it. You're going to make God your priority. In 2018, he is going to be the priority you make. God, I pray for all these that have come forward, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would help them to make you their priority, Lord. And I believe as I look out here that many of them have made you their priority every year. But God, I pray there might be an area they've held back. There might be an area they don't even know of. But God, I pray you'd make it known to them that they could give it up for your honor and glory so that they could draw more people to you, so that they could look more like your son. So that people could look and say, what's different about that person? And they could say, it's Jesus Christ. God, I pray that as Satan tempts, as the trials come this year, that they would remember the commitment they made today to make you their number one priority. And may they say, no matter what happens, I'm going to continue on for God. And I pray that they would be like Anna, that Lord, that when things got rough, she just sold out for you completely. God, I pray you give them the power in the strength through the power of the Holy Spirit to have these things done. Lord, we love you for all that you've done in our lives. God, I pray that 2018 would be the best year yet for Bethel. For your honor and glory. I pray that we would meet more needs spiritually. I pray that we'd meet more needs serving other people. That we would give away more money than we ever had before, and that all of it would be glorifying you. And God, I've talked to people, you know, talked to people that are talking about this church because of the things you've done through these people. So God, I pray you do it just as much, if not more, this year. I pray that as we talk about this church family, it moves us to the place of tears because it's a piece of heaven on earth. Of forgiveness, love, acceptance, brotherhood. I ask all this in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.